We studied some week before last on the first chapter here, 1 Thessalonians. We see here that the church at Thessalonica were, they were examples in a lot of different areas. They were examples in the way that they received the Word of God there in verse 5 where he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, we became you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." We see also that these Thessalonians also suffered for the Lord there in verse 6, the first part of that verse. And then we see also that they encouraged other churches. And I believe that this is where we left off last the week before last, there in verse 7, where he says, "So that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia." You know, we either encourage or we discourage. As members of the Lord's church, we either encourage or discourage. I sometimes think of this church as a model church, and I believe this is one of the reasons that it's a model church. They became examples to other people that were saved by the grace of God. And it's good to have examples to look to. It's good. Other churches should be able to look at our church and use us as a church to follow. And I believe down through the years that many churches have looked at Olmsted Baptist Church and have followed the examples of Olmsted Baptist Church. I believe that's a good example. It's a good testimony to have, is for others to look at us and to follow our examples. And so we need to be thinking about that as we live our Christian life and as we set the examples that we set. And not only to other churches, but to one another. You say, "Well, I don't care what people think about me." Have you ever heard anybody say that? "I don't care what people think about me." We ought to care what people think about us. So, "Oh, the Lord knows all about me. I don't care what others think." But we ought to. We ought to worry and we ought to think about what other people think about us, individually and as a church. What kind of testimony do we have as a church? What kind of example are we setting as a church? So we are either setting a good examples or we're setting bad examples. And one day we'll have to stand before the Lord and give an account to Him for the examples that we set. And so may other churches and other people that are saved by the grace of God look at our church for leadership in spiritual things. Now, we see here that they received the Word of God. We see also that they followed their spiritual leader. We see also that they suffered for the Lord. We see that they also encouraged other believers. Now, in verse 8, he says, "For from you sounded out the Word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For from you sounded out." That word "sounded" there means echoed. It means echoed. And so they were receivers. Look at verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, we see that we're receivers. Not only are we receivers, but we're also transmitters. As we see here in verse 8, the word of God came unto them, and then the word of God went out from them. And so, may we have a great desire, or a greater desire than ever, to sound out. And may it be very clear. The word sound out also means to sound as a trumpet. To sound as a trumpet. I believe it's the responsibility and the privilege of this church to share the gospel to this lost and dying world. And may the Lord help us to realize the great responsibility that the Lord has put upon Olmsted Baptist Church in getting the gospel out to those that are lost and without Christ. At the end of each of the gospels, and at the beginning of the book of Acts, there are commissions for our churches to obey. And we want to notice some of those tonight here in the book of Matthew, a very familiar passage of Scripture to each one. But this was a commission that was given to the Lord's church. In the last part there of that chapter, in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, church, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So that's a commission that the Lord has given to Olmsted Baptist Church. What are we doing about that commission? And we must obey all of that commission. Not just part of it, but we must obey all of it. So he tells us as a church, he tells us as each individual members of this church, the responsibility that we have in reaching those that are lost without Christ. We need to be spreading the gospel. We need to use every opportunity that the Lord gives us to preach the gospel and to talk to people about their soul salvation. That is our responsibility. We have a responsibility. You say, well, if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved anyway. They're not going to be saved anyway. They're going to be saved God's way. And God's way of saving lost souls is proclaiming the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot save them, but we can go with the gospel. We can preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as He has commanded us to do. Now, notice also in the book of Mark, in the last chapter there of the book of Mark, chapter 16. We must never lose sight of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The minute that you lose sight of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're heading toward hardshellism. As long as you don't lose sight of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never have to worry about going hardshell. Now, notice here in the book of Mark, chapter 16, in verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to whoever you want to. Go, and he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the elect." Didn't say that, did it? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so it's our responsibility as a church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, well, Brother Jones, where do we start? You start at home. We start right here around Olmsted and the surrounding towns and cities. Are we doing that? You say, no, Brother Jones, it's a whole lot easier to put my money in that box back there, and we'll just send the money and let these missionaries do it. No, he's commanded us as a church to go into all the world and preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel to every creature. You say, well, they're not going to hear it. It's still our responsibility to go. He that believeth. If you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You believe not, you're going to be damned. And we must proclaim that. We must preach that. It's our responsibility as a church to tell sinners that. Now, notice in the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke. Now, I want you to notice that he closes out these Gospels, and every one of these Gospels, in giving us a commission. In chapter 24, notice verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in the Lord's church. Beginning in Jerusalem. That's where we're to begin. Do y'all see that? Are we as a church fulfilling our responsibility concerning the Great Commission? It gets pretty quiet. And may God, by His Holy Spirit, convict us tonight and show us the responsibility and put the love of God in our heart that we need, and a burden in our heart this week for lost souls. The Lord was very much concerned about loving souls and seeing people saved. He had so much concern that he went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that sinners might be saved by the grace of God. And may God grant us the grace that we stand in need of to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it so hard for us to do that? It seems like it's just so hard. And we're so afraid to talk to people about their soul, or just to simply ask them if they're saved by the grace of God. We had a couple boys today stop by the church, and Brother Mark and I were down working on a computer, or Brother Mark was. And you say, what was you doing, instructing him? No. Just morale builder. But there's two boys that came in, and they had their sob story. You know, they was needing some money, and the aunt died, and they just paid a $275 light bill, and didn't have any money, and didn't have any gas, and they was needing some money for gas. But anyway, we got to witness to them. We tried to take that opportunity, use that opportunity, to ask them if they were saved. Ask him if they were serving the Lord. And of course, right away, he had all kinds of excuses why he wasn't serving the Lord. His mother had just died and so on. And he said he was saved and been away from the Lord and so on. But anyway, we tried to witness to him. But we are to take every opportunity that the Lord gives us. Do y'all carry tracts in your shirt pockets? Do you put them in your glove compartment? Do you ladies put them in your purse when you're getting groceries? And just here, when you get a moment, like for you to read something here. Get in the habit of doing that. Get in the habit of carrying tracts with you. You got to buy your gas, go in, pay for your gas. Give them a tract. Witness to them. Go to get groceries, park your car way back in the back part of the parking lot. And that boy comes out to carry your groceries out for him. Let him carry your groceries out. You know, all the time you're walking out there to the car, tell him about the gospel. Use those opportunities to proclaim to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we as a church have this great responsibility in proclaiming the gospel. Now notice also in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 20. Notice verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Even so send I you." The Lord has saved us by the grace of God, and He has sent us forth as a church to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in the first chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 8. Acts chapter 1, in verse 8. "But you shall receive power," talking to the church, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in," and circle that word both, "both in Jerusalem." Now where'd they start? Started in Jerusalem. They started at home. And I believe a lot of times we have the tendency to just reverse this. But we are to start at home in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So do you all see the great responsibility that we have as a church in proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now let's not stop at mission giving. May we have a burden to go ourselves. It's good to give. We wouldn't have the missionaries on our missionary fields if we wasn't given. But it's also important for us to go. To go. And may the entire church be involved in going. It's not the responsibility of just a few men to go. It's the responsibility of each one of us to go. And may we be conscious of this every day that we get up, that we'll pray, "Lord, lead me to somebody that I might be able to witness to." Y'all ever pray that? You try that this week. You try praying and asking the Lord to give you an opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody that's lost. We all need to be involved. Because we are God's elect people, does not excuse us from the task of evangelism. Did y'all understand that? Let me repeat it again. Because we are God's elect people, does not excuse us from the task of evangelism. I believe the doctrine of election is one of the greatest encouragements that there is to evangelism. Do y'all understand that? That encourages me to know that there are elect out there. That encourages me to go. That does not discourage me. That does not set me back and say, well, if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved anyway. Or if God intended to save them, they're going to be saved anyway. It's an encouragement to me to do evangelistic work. And I believe over here in the book of Acts chapter 8, turn over there, you're still there in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. And verse 11, and I believe this is a good example of this. Look at verse 1 through 11. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, or hauling men and women, committed them to prison. And therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And so the fact that God had his elect in Corinth encourage Paul to remain there for a year and a half. If salvation was the work of man, we would have every right to be discouraged and to give up. But salvation is the work of God, and He uses people to call out His elect. The same God who ordains the end also ordains the means. There's no conflict. There's no conflict between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. There's no conflict there, none whatsoever. We need more churches today where the people are enthusiastic to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. I believe that that's very important. My time is up. I don't want Ben back here to ring that bell or to hold that big clock up. But may the Lord show us as a church, and may He burden us as a church that we might go. And we get straightened out here. You say, well, that's always our excuse. When we get more time, we're going to go. We're going to start going witnessing, you know. When we were in Wasayan, we covered just about every house in that city. And that's my intentions here. There's nothing to thrill your soul more than you see a lost person saved by the grace of God. Doesn't it thrill your heart when you see people come receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, repenting of their sins? You know, sometimes I may get those things flip-flop, verse, backwards, whatever. You know, say, well, you've got to have it this order. It's got to be like this, and this. You know? You're here tonight and lost without Christ. I want to urge you to trust Christ. I want to urge you to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him. He'll save your soul. Whatever need you have tonight can be met in the Lord. As we have a song of invitation, we'd like for each one to stand and we'd like for you to come. The Lord has spoken to you. Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart. We urge you to come as we have a song of invitation.
207.
You've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. How that He died and how that He was buried and how that He rose. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Come, trust in the Lord.